This week's mailbag comes to us from Liz. Thank you for making it and making it for free. As a nurse, it's so frustrating when you don't get clear information on a patient you are trying to admit. And now many hospitals aren't allowing visitors, so there is no one who will be with you to pipe up if there is miscommunication, and staff is going to be so overwhelmed they can't play detective. If you are sick enough to go to the hospital, you are not in a state to remember everything you need to. This mini medical emergency information binder is a way to legitimately help both patients and healthcare providers. It's going to help prevent things and people from falling through the very wide cracks in our healthcare system. Thank you. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Well, this is unfortunate. As you can imagine, I record my podcast episodes weeks in advance, and actually it has taken me 5 years before I've gotten to the point where I am 6 to 8 weeks in advance of recording my podcast episodes, which makes Mary, our content editor, and Amanda, our podcast producer, super, super happy. Mary is an ICU nurse in Chicago, so she needs to be able to listen to the podcast episodes whenever it fits into her schedule. And Amanda homeschools her kids and is currently traveling around the United States, although they have stopped in one location during the pandemic. So both of them work for Organized 365 in the nooks and crannies of their day. And so out of respect, I try to get my podcast episodes to them as soon as possible. And when we recorded these podcast episodes for April about how to plan a big project, I used the examples that I was planning in the beginning of March, which was Abby's graduation party, probably not going to happen. I mentioned planning a wedding a couple of times. I know many of you have weddings on the calendar that are being canceled or rescheduled or being done with less than 10 people in attendance. I talk about moving, which is getting really hard to do right now as we are all at the current time of this recording in social distancing. And some of us are in a state where we are not allowed to interact at all. And I also talk about planning fun activities for your kids this summer and signing up for camps, which seems like such a dream now, doesn't it? We are going to go ahead and air these podcast episodes because how you plan a big project didn't change just because how we're living our life today changed. And I've been doing my podcast for over 5 years, and I know that many of you go all the way back to the beginning and listen through those podcast episodes, and you know much of what I said 5.5 years ago isn't as applicable today, but the principles of organizing never change. Once you learn the skill of organizing, which many of us did not learn as kids, it takes learning and skill to develop organization and then the productivity that comes from organization. This is how I do it. This is how I break down a huge project into multiple steps. And over the course of April, you're going to follow along as well. I really hope that I do not trigger you by talking about graduation parties or weddings or planning summer vacations that may have gotten canceled. The only counsel I can give you is that this is just 1 year in time. And while, yes, this is Abby's senior year and this is her graduation party, it will forever be remembered, right? Like, her graduation party will be remembered way more than Joey's in the year of the global pandemic. I am trying to provide as much real-time encouragement, motivation, perspective, love as possible. It's easier for me to do that through social media than through the podcast, although I'm trying, and we're even putting up bonus podcasts if they're a Facebook Live that's resonated with a lot of people. We would love for you to join our Facebook community. Just search Organize 365 and find the group and ask to join and answer the few questions there. And if you want to see how I'm handling this as a wife, as a mother, as a CEO, as a puzzle lover, as a dog owner, follow me on Instagram. I share a lot more in my Instagram stories than I do even in Facebook or on the podcast. We are in this together. Many of us are now together at home, and now you're looking around thinking, ooh, I really need to get this home organized. Organize 365 is still shipping out products, but most of what we have is digital. So when you place your order, you'll get the digital assets right away. And we've cut our shipping down to 1 to 2 days a week just to minimize the number of people in the office. And we just have one or two people go in and do that shipping so that we maintain our social distancing as well. We will all get through this together. I hope you enjoy these podcast episodes. And again, I'm sorry that the projects that I was talking about are no longer projects that we are currently planning. Welcome to week two of planning your project or your goal. Last week, we talked about the fact that we need a separate box or basket for this new project or goal that is outside of your Sunday basket because it is not a repetitive task or a task that's going to be easily checked off your to-do list. It's going to span multiple weeks, possibly months. And in addition to having a place to put all of those ideas, this additional basket or box is going to be a physical reminder that we have this one additional project or goal that we want to accomplish in addition to what we do in all of the other areas of our life. And we are specifically targeting the project or goal of setting up summer for your kids, like all the different things your kids are going to do in the summer, planning a graduation party or any kind of a party like that, or actually planning a move, which is a huge project. And I want to talk about how each of these projects I have picked are very different in nature. So we're going to start with the summer plan, planning your kids' summer. If you have children and they're school age, and whether you work or not, you need to plan what they're going to do in summer because after a week or two, everything goes downhill without a little bit of structure in the mix. So what is your plan for getting through the summer with your kids is something that you will do over and over and over again as long as they are living at home. This is a project or a goal. The first time you do it, it may take you a couple of weeks to a month to get the plan going. I got to the point at the end where I could do this in one weekend. So this is a repetitive project or goal that eventually may not need its own box once you get really skilled at doing this. The second one is planning a big party, a graduation party, a 50th birthday party, a big anniversary party. A wedding is way bigger than the kind of party that I'm talking about, but these parties typically are going to be planned over the course of 6 weeks. You may be gathering ideas for over a year, and then when you really sit down to be like, all right, let's get the guest list, let's send out invitations, let's make the plans, it's usually going to be done in about 6 weeks. So that extra box or basket will be on your kitchen counter for maybe 2 to 8 weeks. And then a move. This is a significant project or goal. This box or basket could be, you know, on your kitchen counter or in another location for 6 months to a year, especially if you're building or you're planning a very significant move, downsizing, something like that. So step two, in addition to having a box that's going to have a place, and we've brain dumped in there, we put all of our ideas in there, is to now chunk our tasks and create specific slash pockets inside of this new project or goal box. It does not matter what color slash pockets you use. So often you guys will say to me, I need to buy more pink or I need to buy more purple slash pockets. And we're just not a big enough company in order to be able to do that yet based on how we buy the slash pockets from our manufacturer. We buy them in an assorted lot, so we can't order them individually yet. So if there's a color, like you bought a second set of 2.0 slash pockets because you needed more pink and purple inside of your work box, then use the green or use the blue inside of this project or goal box. So just pick any color. It doesn't matter what color you pick. And you could pick an assorted color of slash pockets if you want. I think it is easier on your brain if all the slash pockets are the same color in the project, but it's not necessary. So when we're in the work box or the extra project and goal box for your summer plan,
you're going to create a maximum of 5 slosh pockets. You're not going to have a total crazy amount of slosh pockets unless you have a lot of kids or you're enrolling in a lot of different activities over the summer. Now, for the graduation party and for the summer plan, if you own the household operations box, there are a lot of printables at your disposal. So for the summer break plan, we have a planning process worksheet in there, and also a summer break planner where we can help you figure out what your bucket list. And next week we'll look at the planning summer fun sheet that we have in there as well. So pull out those resources that you have for planning summer fun. You can also go back in the podcast archives and search out the podcast episode I've done in the past for planning summer fun as well. So some of the slash pockets you're going to want to have in this box is one just for general ideas, because as soon as you go through this summer planning box, you may find that, oh my gosh, I really want my kids to do whatever, but that camp is already full, or they aren't doing it this year, or your kids are a little bit too young to enroll yet. And so it's an idea that you're actually going to keep for next year. So you'll need an idea slash pocket for ideas that don't come to fruition this summer. Second, I usually had a slash pocket for each of my kids by name. So Abby had a slash pocket and Joey had a slash pocket. So if only one of them was enrolled in a certain camp or whatever, the registration and everything related to that camp just went in their slash pocket. And then I would have slash pockets related to camps that the kids were both going to. So if they were both going to, there was this awesome church camp up in my hometown that we would travel home to every year, and they loved this camp. So that camp would have its own slash pocket. And when we went home to Akron, I would just take that slash pocket with me. You know me, I do. I take slash pockets with me everywhere. And that's what I love about the slash pockets in this summer plan box. It's not going to take a long time to plan out your summer plan, but having this additional summer plan box on the counter the entire summer at the beginning of every week or on the Sunday before, I'd be like, oh, we're going to this camp this week, or we are traveling to this place this weekend. I would just grab out that slash pocket and all of the reservations or checklists or, you know, forms that had to be turned in for that camp would be in that slash pocket. So on Monday morning when we went, everything was in one place and I wasn't constantly trying to look for things. So that is your summer plan box. Let's move on to your party box, which in my case is your graduation party. Again, in there, you're going to create some general slash pockets. Yours may be a little bit different than mine, but mine for the graduation box that I'm creating is I have a slash pocket for the invite and the guest list. So first, you're figuring out who you're going to invite to the graduation party. And then as they're RSVPing, I'm writing down who RSVP'd yes or no, so I know how many people are coming. The next slash pocket, which was the most significant one for me that I did not expect in planning a graduation party, is your house. Like getting your house ready. What needs to be fixed? What needs to be upgraded? Like what needs to be deep cleaned? Though I did not anticipate that at all when we had Joey's graduation party. So if you haven't had a party at your house lately, you're welcome. You're going to need some time to walk through your house, at least on the first floor, and think, you know, do I need to wash the walls? Do I want to put a fresh coat of paint on? You know, when can I get that kind of stuff done? So our house slash pocket was the most significant and actually the most fun. Greg and I really enjoyed tackling that slash pocket. Number two is food. What food are you going to have? So I went out when it was Joey's graduation party time, and Greg and I went one weekend and we just picked up to-go menus from a lot of different places and brought them home and figured out what kind of food that we wanted. So all the to-go menus were in there. And then I also put in recipes that we wanted to try, things like that. The next slash pocket that we have is for party items. And again, in the household operations binder, we have multiple graduation and party planning printables that will give you a big long list of what you might want to think about when you're putting in party items. So while the party item, like streamers or whatever, doesn't fit in the slash pocket, the checklist does. The next slash pocket I had was any gift or memory display. So at a graduation party, you often have scrapbooks out, you need to have a slideshow, you have a box where people can drop in cards, things like that. So that was a whole different slash pocket for me. Why so many slash pockets? Why can't we just drop our ideas in the box, it's all in there, and we sort them out? And the reason why you want to take the step of taking those ideas and dividing them into these different slash pockets is because this reduces the overwhelm. You know how you walk in a room and you're overwhelmed to get started and you're like, I just want to leave and go get coffee or go to the movies or turn on Netflix and chill because you're overwhelmed with how chaotic that space looks. But if you walk in and you just start chanting trash, trash, trash and picking up the trash, you're like, okay, I'm making forward momentum. Oh, look, that belongs in the kitchen. So now we're food and dishes. And next thing you know, you've been in the room, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. All the trash is gone. All the laundry is gone. All the food and dishes is gone. And you feel like you've got a handle on that room and you're like, I'm still overwhelmed, but now I'm just going to look for anything I can donate, right? The slash pockets inside of your workbox continue to reduce the anxiety and the overwhelm. When you go to your project or your goal box, remember how I said everyone is overwhelmed when they set up that box and they brain dump into that box. Brain dumping onto paper will reduce some overwhelm, not all. It'll reduce, I would say, maybe 30 or 40%. Taking all of those ideas and separating them out into specific slash pockets, kind of chunking your tasks that need to happen in order for that project or that goal to be successful, will reduce your anxiety maybe another 20 to 30%. Notice we still have like 40% anxiety, if you haven't noticed. Every step in this process is going to reduce your overwhelm and your anxiety. And the reason a lot of people don't achieve goals and projects is because they get so overwhelmed and so anxious that when they take the one step, they expect all of that overwhelm and anxiety to be gone, and it's not. And then you need to take the next step and the next step. So if you need to listen to all of these four podcasts and go through your next big project or goal, thinking about these as you observe how you're acting, even if you don't take the action, you'll start to see, oh, that physicalness of taking your physically written down ideas on pieces of paper and sorting them into physical slash pockets is a energetic release of the idea, and you're starting to, right before your eyes, see how this is becoming more manageable. Oh, wow, I separated all of my graduation tasks into these slash pockets, and Lisa's right, my expectations and goals for what I can achieve in this house in the next 4 weeks are completely unrealistic, energetically, time-wise, and monetarily. Whereas if we keep these ideas in our head and we keep talking them over with our spouse or our parents or our kids or whatever, we're like, oh yeah, we're going to have a deck for your graduation. Your graduation's 4 weeks from now. No, you're not. You're just, physically, it's not going to, it's nearly impossible to find a construction company, if you haven't already been working with them, they can come and build a deck and be done in 1 month. And it's probably going to cost 10 grand. So do you have 10 grand? Like, you think a deck is $2,000 and it's done in a week, and really it's $10,000 and it takes 4 weeks, plus you need permits and they already have contracted jobs. So really you needed to contract them 6 months ago in order to have that deck done. Guess how I know? We still don't have a deck, by the way. We wanted a deck in time for Joey's graduation. I'll just let you know, we're not even going to have one in time for Abby's graduation, because in our mind, we had a deck for a graduation party. And in reality, that is something we needed to budget for years ago, and we needed to plan for 6 months before the graduation, not 6 weeks before the graduation. So this, while some of your expectations are not going to be met, and some of how you envisioned this goal or project being achieved are not going to happen that way, this realistic step of taking your ideas and putting them into separate slash pockets, which we're going to use in the next step to order our activities, is necessary because it causes you to delete and defer some of the project to later or never. And when you don't do it this way and you just make a big long checklist of everything that has to get done before the graduation, you frantically try to check everything off of your list, going back to the list every time for efficiency and dropping off anything that can be done quickly or with the resources you have in your wallet today, leaving the bigger things to closer and closer to the end of when you're going to have this project, which is when you walk into the furniture store, guess how I know, on Thanksgiving weekend and say, I need new living room furniture in time for Christmas. And they go, you needed to do this 8 weeks ago.
I'm like, because you need to place an order for furniture and they have to make it and then they have to ship it and then they have to get it to you. And I was like, darn it, that isn't going to work. And they're like, no, it's not a thing. If you want new furniture for graduation, you need to order it at Christmas. If you want new furniture for Christmas, you need to order it in August. And we just don't think this far in advance. And we get to that list, and we did this for Joey's graduation too. We walk into Watson 6 weeks before the graduation party, and they look at us and they go, there's no way. Like, you're not getting this furniture. And we didn't. So, although we do have it for Abby's because it came 2 weeks after Joey's graduation. This is real life, you guys. It's not like somebody else has it all together. Somebody else that you're watching that actually has the new furniture and the new deck at the graduation party didn't the first time they did the graduation party or the first time they did some event, and they learned, oh, wow, if you want big household projects done and if you want furniture for a big event, you need to be planning 6 months in advance, financially and physically. And it's okay. Like, it's okay. You are going to get better and better and better at planning projects and achieving goals by doing this process, just like you're getting better and better and better at your Sunday basket in your house by being more efficient with the tasks that are presented every single week. Okay, so let's look at what kind of slash pockets you're going to have for a move. Full transparency, I moved into this house 24 years ago, and every time Greg and I consider moving out, we're like, meh, too much work. How can we just make this house work for the next phase of life? Because moving is, I mean, it's a job. Like, you should put on your calendar 20 hours a week, as in you just got a part-time job at a minimum, especially if you're building your house. Like, you need to give yourself the grace and the reality check that you need a significant amount of time on your calendar for a significant amount of time for moving. That being said, I have had a couple of business owner friends who have moved, and they've said to me, oh yeah, we're going to move. And then a couple weeks later they say, we moved. And I'm like, what? How did you, where did you, I couldn't have even listened to that. Like, it blows my mind. I'm like, you moved? Like, you moved? Still, I'm thinking about both these people. I still do not know how they did it. And I've watched one of them do it twice. Their business never slowed down. Their workouts never slowed down. Their family. I'm like, how did you do that? Now, first of all, they hired it out. And second of all, they just didn't have very much stuff and they're used to moving. I have plenty of stuff. I am not used to moving. If we ever do build a house and move, it will be a year-long project. I can tell you that for sure. So you have to know your temperament and how much help you're going to hire. But the biggest thing I would do if you're going to move is actually have two boxes. One for the house you're currently in and one for the house that you're moving into. And keep those papers and those ideas separate. That is going to save you a ton of time. You are going to have more than 5 slash pockets. You might as well just get a whole bank of 2.0 slash pockets for this project because it's going to be significant. You can figure out your own color coding scheme, etc. Some of these slash pockets you're going to want to have in there are things for like your inspection, your listings and showings, repairs that need to be done on the current house, vendors that you're working on with both houses, a separate slash pocket in each box for receipts. So receipts related to the old house, receipts related to the new house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Organize 365 does not have a comprehensive moving organizing strategy or printable. I would, you know, you can find checklists from your realtor. You can find checklists online. There is so much out there for organizing your move. I'm just going to have you go to the research of Google to find exactly what you need in order to move. Those two boxes, your old house and your new house for your move, are probably going to be in your office or in your bedroom or in your kitchen for 6 months to a year, because you have all the ideas before you decide to move, then you're in the process of moving, and then after you've finished moving, there's still more that you're going to do. And I hope that you really take to heart what I said in that you have a new part-time job. Moving is your part-time job.
So it should have a box. It should have a lot of slash pockets. It should have a lot of time devoted to it, both before, during, and after you do the move. And you're going to need to be very strategic with the time that you have, even though you want to make binders as you are moving. It may be more efficient and better if you just stack all of the warranties and manuals and documents and contracts that you're getting for each of the houses in the box, and then after you've moved, create the binders. So the way the Sunday basket is set up is there is a divider in there that's about one third of the way through to have your slash pockets stand up in the back so that you can dump all your documents in the front. If you're using the moving box, what I would do is I would use that area in the back where your slash pockets are supposed to stand up, and I would use that as a mini filing cabinet. And I would put any warranties, manuals, documents, contracts that you know are going to go into a binder someday. And I would put them in that back part. And I would just say that I don't have to go through those papers. I know that that is part of my moving filing cabinet until I can get it into a binder after I'm through the craziness of the move. So to recap, last week we identified what our one focus means, one, our one project or goal that we were going to do in addition to our Sunday basket. I'm giving examples of planning your summer and planning a party and moving, which are different projects of scope and size. And we got a separate basket or box for that project so that we could brain dump all of our ideas out of our head onto paper, which would reduce our overwhelm by 20 to 30% so we could see physically what we had in our head. This week, we took all of those ideas and we sorted them into slash pockets, maybe a couple of slash pockets, maybe 20 slash pockets, depends on how big your project is, in order to get our brain around what are the chunks of things that I need to do for this project or goal to become a reality. We're still overwhelmed, but the chunking of this helped us to reduce our overwhelm and our anxiety by another 20 to 30% because now we could see, oh, well, I know how to do invitations and I know how to do a gift and memory display, but oh, wow, I'm behind on my house. I'm going to have to really noodle on what we can or can't do there. Or you might say, you know what, our house is great, but whoa, Lisa, I totally forgot we needed scrapbooks and like a slideshow for my kids' graduation party. Ah! I don't even know. I don't even have those photos organized. I don't have them printed out. They're on multiple computers. I need to see if that computer still works. There's going to be something along the way that I just said where you're thinking to yourself, ooh, that is the piece I normally miss. I remember that there's going to be a slideshow at a graduation party the week of the party, or when I go to a graduation party and I see the slideshow and my graduation party is the next day. Like, guess how I know that one? Think I would know some of these things, but if you're going to move, talk to your friends who have just moved. If you're going to have a graduation party a year from now, take notes at the graduation parties you're at this year. If you're like, I don't even know how to plan my summer. Summer just sneaks up on me every single year. And you're right, 2 weeks in, the kids and I are looking at each other like, how do you even know where the camps are? Find your organized friend who always seems to have a plan for their kids and ask them how they do it. Oh, another thing about this time. Yeah, probably about this time, or you may have just missed it. So ask a friend who is very organized. Your local school will have like a summer fair. I didn't find this out until like a few years ago, but they'll have a summer fair and it's usually during spring break and you can go there and see all of the camps and the daycares and the summer reading program at the library. They're all at this fair and you walk through and collect all the goodies and all the ideas about what you can do with your kids this summer. All right. Our anxiety is reduced like 40 to 60%. Next week, we're going to make a plan and we're going to figure out how we're going to get this project and goal to be achieved on time, on target, and on budget.